Hey, welcome to the Expat Brad Podcast. It's Almond Qureshi. What's happening, people? Apart from me not hitting my fitness goals, it is almost summer, and I've ruled out all the outdoor exercises now. Not that I hadn't, kind of stopped doing them when the weather was nice too, but now I have a legit excuse. It's hitting like almost 50 degrees. We're into the real summer in Dubai, and that means that unless I want to lose weight by dying and dehydrating, which at this point might be an option, I gotta rule outdoor stuff out. Which means I've got to hit the gym more, and there's a good reason why I'm not hitting the gym. I just haven't found that good reason yet, but when I do, I'll let you know. And if I just worked as hard on making excuses and just did it at the gym, put that hard work there, maybe, just maybe I'd have a summer bod. But here we are, and this is what's up, all right? My weight, that's what's up. And my tummy. So I hope you've been better. I logged in right now, and I it's early morning here, and I'm watching the final 30 seconds of the game, and it looks like the Nuggets are taking game three. It's pretty much done. Literally just watched the last 10 seconds of it, because it's such an odd timing, right? That's one of the biggest problems I've always had following American sports while living here. You don't get to watch the games live, and then it's like your day started, and people will put the result out somewhere on social media, blah, blah, blah. And so you just go, you know what, I can't do this. I'm just going to look at the results. And so I woke up to this. I've said this in previous episodes. I think the Nuggets are going to take this, but I hope, and my heart hopes, that the Heat actually win this championship. So it's heart versus brain going on. And today the brain has won. Again, I haven't looked at the details, but it looks like it was pretty one-sided. And the Nuggets took the game away pretty much. We're pretty much in the lead throughout. Yeah, too bad. Heat, you've got three more games you got to win a championship, people. And yeah, that's what's going on, people. I watched the Apple live event where they launched these new products and stuff, right? Or updates and whatnot. And as you may already know by now, there's this huge this big reveal of I don't know what it's called. It's let's look this up. All right, so Apple Vision Pro, that's it. The Apple Vision Pro, and everybody is going nuts over it. There are loads of reasons. I'm not a tech guy. I'm not going to bore you with my analysis of it. But I will tell you this. The price tag is crazy. It is crazy. At the same time, it's not crazy. There was a watch somewhere on the internet that the crowd just kind of went when the price was announced, which means I think that's Apple should look at that and go, okay, I think we've pushed it too far. Because clearly, till now, we weren't pushing too far with the prices of all our other products. Anyway, you know how much an iPhone costs now? It's 4,000 plus dirhams, which is $1,200 at least. And I love it. I love the phone. I love Apple products. But there's also like this part where I'm like, man, do I need to start selling body parts to afford Apple products? And that kind of, you know, it's becoming harder and harder. And they sometimes, you can't help it, you've seen all the memes all over the internet, you can't help but think, are they just taking the piss now and just going, hey, let's see what we can price this at? And they just throw a number, they put some numbers on the wall, and then they throw darts at it, and the one it lands on, they go, yeah, that's the new price, we're gonna go with it. And no one goes, don't you think that might be a bit too much? I mean, even if I was an employee at Apple and these numbers came up, there's only two things I can think of, right? Like, either every Apple employee is so well paid that they go, yeah, the number's fine. Or some of them truly are sitting there going, oh my lord, I would never buy it at that price. I can't buy it at this price because I have some other things to buy, like food for survival and pay rent. So that makes me wonder, like, who's approving this and how far will it go? And how is this even calculated? Anyway, having said that, it sounds pretty exciting, and I think Facebook is going to sweat a bit. I think Apple is so much better at doing things, and as we know, Mark Zuckerberg, I wanted to change the name to something else, but I try to keep my show PG, but you can imagine what I was going to say. He just ruins things. he's this guy. I don't know how he's a billionaire, man. When I see people like him, I'm just like, I'm ashamed. At not having done more, because I'm like, I must be particularly challenged and stupid to not be able to achieve more, while this dude is so far ahead and has so much control over the world. And maybe he is a smart guy, who knows, right? And everything that's revealed in the media just is like people like me who are jealous. Anyway. There's a war between Apple and Facebook over this whole tech now, and it'll be interesting to watch what happens. personally, it just made me feel old. at some point, I remember I resisted, like, going onto the Mac laptops or just even switching from BlackBerry to the smartphones because I liked the keyboard on the old things. I like the physical, like pushing the button, and I was really good at it. It was one of my many talents. I was very good at typing really fast on the BlackBerry, and I loved it. And then now you have these key, and I've said this before, I think the Samsung keyboard was easier to use somehow, and the iPhone keyboard, there's just something about it that doesn't sit well with me, and I find it a little bit harder typing, or maybe I'm just growing older and my fingers have become more clumsy. And so just that switch was so much for me to imagine going over to this new world. It's not happening. All right, I'm officially out. I'm just like, it's great. I think the future generations, the young kids, are really going to have a great time, and I don't know what kind of possibilities this thing is going to open up. And maybe it'll have a real positive influence on life. Who knows? But me, I'm out. I'm going to be left behind in the real world. I'll see all these people transcending into the virtual reality. And I'll be like, no, don't leave me behind. And then they'll be like, come with us, save yourself. And I'll be like, actually, no, I'll stay back here. I'm fine. I like my Big Mac and my sofa and my streaming TV, which I use the normal remote for, and I'm fine with that. Okay, so, when you look at products, you always kind of go, was that a need, or was that something we're being told we need? Yeah, and there's a big difference in that, if you get what I mean. So there you go. That's my expert analysis on Apple products. Or the new one, at least. I don't know what else to say about it. Honestly, it's like, it's so far beyond my understanding. I'm trying to figure out, well, first of all, I can't afford it, so that prices me out anyway. Like, I can't splash that kind of money on when I have a kid. Like, listen, kid, we're buying this, Zan, and you and I, we're going to live in the virtual world so we don't have to deal with the realities that your dad messed up by buying this and not paid your school fee. So there you go. In the virtual world, your life is great. So what are you complaining about? I think that's the extent of it, man. But I'm always one of those people who are like slow on tech, and then I look at it and it works and people go, wow, everyone's onto it. So don't take my advice on it. If you want to invest in Apple stock, go right ahead, because for all I know, this thing is going to sell out and people will be crazy about it and it's going to change everything. And Apple stock's going to double again. And all of you who listen to this podcast and when, Salman's right, this thing is a little too dumb, they'll be regretting it. I've never had anyone listen to my podcast and go, that was very, thank you for that one. So this is terrible. I am not good at marketing myself, possibly. All right. There's you know, there are some, like, there's some people who are like, this is too crazy, and you know, we're going too far in the world, you know, we'll go crazy with all this. And I just kind of go, you know, I don't think so. I think overall we're going to do well. All right. People are going to do well. I know we feel, oh, some of us, and there's a lot of change, and it's probably at a much faster pace than I would like it myself. But, you know, it wasn't too far ago that everybody believed in capital punishment and used it, and still do, unfortunately. But, you know, it was definitely far more prevalent in previous societies or times and countries. And I just, you know, there are still people who think it's a good idea. Yeah. I mean, if you think capital punishment is a good idea, assume you also believe in solving traffic violations, like by demolishing cars with a wrecking ball. You know, that's how I feel it is. It's like you want to support capital punishment. It's like trying to improve public health by coughing in people's faces and calling it tough love, you know? There's just so much, like, I know it's the reasons people give me that make me worried for humanity, those bits. It's like, you're the ones who are truly left behind. Don't worry about the virtual stuff. You need to look at your ideas of capital punishment, you know, because we always say the same thing. Oh, capital punishment, it acts as a strong deterrent and reduces crime rates. And they always say this, especially around here, when certain countries would do it, chop chop and heads and hands, and not calling them out, but calling them out. And the truth is, you know, then you look at, if you're willing to look at things objectively and not be influenced by your own perceptions and whatever you've been told throughout your life, then you'd realize that you'll find there's no study that has been able to provide conclusive evidence that the death penalty actually reduces crime more effectively than other punishments, right? So there's nothing like that. I think it's very basic to think it would, because you just go, I don't want to get my head chopped, I won't do it. But I could tell you, like in Saudi, we were told about back in the 80s, like, you know, if you steal, your hands will get chopped off. And that didn't stop us from shoplifting for fun. For fun. People are stupid. Kids are stupid. And then I think people who are desperate, like someone who's hungry, they would still go ahead. They take those risks. We all take risks in spite of the potential consequences. There's a trend to jump out and parachute, everybody. And I know it's a safer thing and you've got protection, but when you look at it, you're like, hey, you could die if it goes wrong, right? And people still go out and jump and do it all the time. It's a thing now. It's so common now because it's affordable. And it just goes to show that it just doesn't, I just can't imagine it. And I'm not using the personal story to kind of go, see, I'm right. People will have different experiences of it. But, you know, and that's why I say, like, step away, man. Step away and see what really happens, and there's no evidence of it, right? And then they come up and they go, all right, yeah, some people go, yeah, but what about justice for the victims and their families, right? And they always say this, if something happened to your family, wouldn't you want them punished? And I'm like, yeah, of course, for the crime. And as a person, I'd like them tortured, right? I'd like them mutilated, mutilated. You get what I mean? I've done it to the word now. I'd like them to go through horrible pain and just keep punishing them if they ever did something to someone I love. I get that. Most people may feel that way. Some people are so compassionate, they might actually go, hey, you know, I don't want it in spite of what's happened. But I can't let personal feelings and how much I want to rule create rules for it. It just, you got to look at And that's why you have certain rules as well, so that, you know, someone who's really angry shouldn't be making rules at that point, because you're thinking in the heat of the moment, right? And that's why, that's side note, I don't understand American gun laws, because they're like, you can just go buy a gun. It's, man, it's the worst thing to do, to give someone who's angry, to allow them a gun and make them act on that, right? So you should be considered accomplice to those murders that happen in those particular instances. Anyway, so it just doesn't, my personal need to do that should not be allowed, unfortunately, because where do you draw the line? There was this particular video right now that was doing the rounds in Pakistan somewhere, and this is apparently common in the subcontinent and maybe other countries, I don't know. But if something happens to a family member in the hospital, they die or something, a lot of times a family attacks a doctor. And there's a video of this poor doctor just being attacked, no fault of their own. You know, when the story came out, they realized the kid had died because of whatever, is like too far gone by the time they came to the hospital. Unfortunately, the kid died whilst there. And then the family beat the doctor up so badly that he was on a wheelchair with a broken jaw and bone. I don't know what all happened to them. I couldn't watch the video. I don't watch that kind of stuff, but I read the news about it. And it just makes me go, well, where do you draw that line, right? Like, the minute you start going, that's a reasonable thing to go along with, that as the family of the person affected, I have the right to seek extreme punishment, you know, then this stuff will happen, because you're kind of saying, yeah, that's cool, right? And so I don't agree with that. And again, the reality is a lot of families, they don't necessarily want that either. They might want other forms of justice, or they might even advocate prevention and rehab. Honest to God, if I can control myself and have a little compassion, I may want that, you know. The angry side of me will not, but the human side of me hopes that, God, first of all, I hope nothing ever happens. But if it does, I act, I look at the person, I can act with a little bit of compassion and see what happened. Easier said than done, of course. And I don't know what I'd do in that instance. Maybe I would go to America, buy a gun, and shoot the person for all I know. But we gotta find different ways to find closure and healing for the families of victims, instead of, because, hey, the concept of justice is subjective. That's why, right? So again, I just don't, those kind of reasons don't work with me. And the worst thing, I think, is people think that capital punishment is applied fairly, all right, without bias, and that it's that's, you just need to look at any place, and you know that I guarantee that this is true. It's a fact I'm stating. Individuals from marginalized communities will definitely be more often sentenced to death. And that's, again, that's a little fact I looked up for this, because I was just I was interested. I read this a few weeks ago, and it stuck with me. And it's something that's not obvious, but it to people talking about or thinking about these kind of punishments. But it's the truth as well, right? And we don't think about this when we're talking about capital punishment and whatnot. One of the two, three other reasons I listed these down, because I'm like, what do people keep saying to me when I'm trying to argue with them? Not argue, but I like talking about capital punishment. I try not arguing with people at all anymore. I just come to this podcast and whine. But there's also the simple fact that if you get it wrong, and sometimes they do, all right, the best systems in the world, it doesn't matter. You still punish the wrong person sometimes. When you kill them, it's hard to come back from that, you know? I'm just saying, just putting it out there. It's a little hard to go, whoops, are bad, right? Because there's so many stories of people wrongly convicted, and then even if it's 20 years later, they found, oh, wow, this was not right, and they're released. So there's some kind of, like, you know, thing they can have the rest of their life. I know part of it is still destroyed, but there are innocent people who will be convicted wrongly, and to execute them. Man, that's being so overconfident about your side of things that I'm just like, I don't think people should be that confident about things like this. So I don't know. I don't know what else they say. Yeah, you know, it's this whole like closure to family, families of the victims. And it, some people even say it's more cost effective. And actually, it's not. And this was another thing that I, this was one of the things I looked up because I, you know, I didn't look it up from a point of like, I got to prove my point. I genuinely looked it up to go, maybe it is, and maybe this supports the idea. And every time I did, with any of the reasons people give me, it's always the same thing. It's actually, the truth is, the death penalty is often more expensive than life imprisonment because of the extensive legal process, appeals, costs associated with carrying out executions. You don't think about that. And it's actually, it mounts up to a lot more sometimes. So, you know, even the cost thing doesn't make sense to me. And I genuinely think that, you know, when you have a society where capital punishment is happening, and I don't believe it might be fair all the time, you know, I think it probably have like a real psychological, emotional, and societal impact. You know, it might desensitize people to the value of human life. And that, it's just bizarre. Like, it's just, I don't know, the morality of the state-sanctioned killing. You know, that's what it is. It's, to me, it's just, it feels wrong. And we are shaping people's perception of justice and human rights by saying, like I said earlier, you know, and then people take things in their hand or they think it's what they can do. And all you know is if you see innocent people or marginalized people being punished more often, you're going to have less trust in the criminal justice system, right? Anywhere. So it's just, I don't know. I don't know why I got into this. I think the Miami Heat losing put me down a path of this weird topic. I hadn't planned on talking about capital punishment in this episode. I wanted to talk about Apple and new products. And then it just started hitting me how people kind of keep saying the current society is really bad and hard. And I just, you know, that's why I was starting to compare it to times before. And I'm like, you know, we're far better off overall. We're far better off. There's less likely I'll be involved in some war. There's less likely I'll be involved in the number of plagues that might have hit people back then, or to be able to access the right medicines to save myself. So it's just, take it easy, people. Take it easy, all right? Live and let live and find a new way to punish people. Heal the world, make the world a better place. Woohoo! Ironic about the person who sang that. All right. Okay, I think I got to go, all right? I think this episode turned way too heavy, and I apologize for that. I hope you still enjoyed it, and maybe it makes us think about stuff. I hope you have a great rest of the week. I'm going to head off. I've got things to do, and I know you got things to do. Thank you for listening. Goodbye, or as a dog would say, woof.